We're going to get out to our first guest via the telephone tonight, a veteran writer, does the radio in Chicago. He works for ESPNChicago.com and ESPN 1000. We're going to talk a little Chicago White Sox baseball tonight. Doug Padilla joins us on the Mighty 1090. Doug, welcome. Great to have you.
Coach, thanks for having me. It's great to talk about the White Sox in San Diego, because I think when you look at how rosters were built this offseason, the White Sox and the Padres probably did the most construction to their rosters. So I think both teams are pretty interested to see how this is all going to play out, and in the White Sox in particular. You know, they've got a lot of questions to answer. They've been a sub-500 team for a few years now, and I think the first goal is to get above 500 and then to see if they're playoff worthy.
Hey, Doug, last year, 73-89, fourth place in the AL Central, and you look at two of the teams that were above them, the Detroit Tigers, they're not going away. And how about those Kansas City Royals? They made a great run getting to the Fall Classic, running into the San Francisco Giants, but nonetheless, very tough division. They're bringing Robin Ventura back. What's Robin's strength as a manager?
You know, I think he's a people person. I think he has total respect of the team, the veterans, the youngsters. He just has a good way about him. For our sake, covering him, he's a great guy, always approachable, always honest. You know, he's always saying the right things, and I think that carries a lot of weight. I know he gets a lot of criticism, especially with how he used the bullpen last season, but they had a lot of struggles. They had a lot of injury. But, you know, he says, hey, that comes with the territory. He says the right things. He does the right things. The most important thing is he played the game. And if you have respect in that locker room, you know, it goes a long way. And I think the guys do. And, you know, it's a matter of blending now these veterans and kids together. He knows the spotlight is on him this year because the roster is a little bit better. But he says, you know what, I welcome that, because that means we're worth a darn finally. And I'll take the pressure if that means we can get to the playoffs.
Hey, you wrote a real nice column today on Jose Abreu, who was the American League Rookie of the Year, 36 bombs last year, 107 RBIs, hit .317. But last couple of months, as you pointed out in your article, he really slowed down. And for people that maybe haven't read that article that want to read it, talk a little bit about what Abreu said about, you know, the off season and how he needed to get a little bit stronger and a little bit better.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of knew that he kind of petered out a little bit at the end of the last season. You know, in Cuba, they play 90 games in a season at best, and now he comes over here, he's got to figure out how to play 162. And I think, to nobody's surprise, those first 90 to 100 games were flat-out awesome. I mean, it blew your mind to watch a guy just transition to a league he has never seen, to a country where he doesn't speak the language, and to just blend in so seamlessly. It was pretty incredible, but then you saw in those later months, final 2 months of the season, I think he only hit 5 of his home runs. The final month of the season, he only had 8 RBIs. So it went down considerably to his credit. He turned himself into more of a line drive hitter. He was still getting his hits. They just weren't going over the wall, and he was having a hard time driving in runs. But, you know, for a guy that knows how to adapt and change, I mean, it's pretty incredible to see. But he knows he's got to get stronger. He wants to go into the season stronger and then maybe cut back on his work during the year to kind of preserve himself. So that'll be a big test for him in year two.
Hey, one of the big offseason acquisitions, bringing in Adam LaRoche. Adam LaRoche plays first base. Does that mean Jose Abreu going to be primarily the designated hitter?
I think at face value, you probably would say, yes, that should probably happen. Adam LaRoche has a gold glove caliber glove. I mean, the guy can pick it at first base with the best of them. But with Jose Abreu and the season that he had, when a guy has such a great year, you kind of want to give him more responsibility and see what he's really made out of. It's really hard to take away responsibility from a guy who was the AL MVP and finished in the top 5 of all 3 Triple Crown categories. First rookie, by the way, to ever do that. So in those terms, it was hard for them to say, great year, now give this back. So what they're saying is, great year, you'll be the primary first baseman. We're going to get Adam in there maybe 2 times a week, and we'll see where that goes at first. But I think it'd be a benefit to them if they get Adam in there more often, and that right there might help preserve Jose Abreu for the long haul. So, I mean, I think it's a good way they're handling it at first, but I wouldn't be surprised to see those guys second half splitting that thing 50-50.
Doug Padilla, our guest, talking about the Chicago White Sox. Talk a little bit about the rotation. Obviously, Chris Sale coming back, the solid left-hander. They signed Jeff Samardzija. Talk us about the back end of that rotation.
Yeah, that's where they have the question marks. I mean, they think their top three can compete with anybody, and it's hard to argue. Chris Sale finished third in Cy Young voting this past year. Samardzija, like you said, Jose Quintana, an under-the-radar left-hander who's just been solid his first two seasons as a starter. I mean, he's put up – he can't get a victory for anything. I mean, they can't score many runs, give him any defense, but he's a good starter. And then you have four and five. You have John Danks and Hector Nwesi. Hector Nwesi, they picked up off the scrap heap. He was out there on waivers, and then they turned him into a starter, and they got some out of him. So you really have a lot of question marks at four and five. Danks is a veteran, but he's come off injury, shoulder surgery about two and a half years ago. So a lot of question marks there, and their depth is questionable. They've got a first-round draft pick named Carlos Rodon, a left-hander out of NC State that's pretty good. He's going to be a starter eventually, but is this too soon for him to kind of come up and help out? We'll have to see. But, you like the front half, and you wonder about the second half. You know, for as good as the moves they made in the offseason, there's still a lot of question marks for this team, especially in the bullpen as well.
How do you feel about David Robertson being the closer?
Yeah, I mean, that's your big fix. You paid a lot of money for him. In the last 10 years, they really tried to develop their own closer, but they went out and spent $46 million on a closer. He's only done it 1 year, but he took over for Mariano Rivera with the Yankees and did a pretty good job. So I think you say, well, he can probably handle that. But who's going to set him up? I mean, you're going to get a great start out of, let's say, a Sale. You're going to know you can close down the game. But if you can't bridge that somehow and figure out who's going to be your eighth inning guy, who's going to set these things up. They signed Zach Duke. He had a great season with the Brewers last year. I mean, there's a nice piece. But other than that, they're kind of developing a setup guy, and it's probably not the most ideal way. But to their credit, look, they figured out a lot of holes. They filled a lot of stuff that they needed to figure out. I mean, if there had to be a couple things they had to leave off the list, I guess bullpen was it. So it's kind of hard to knock what they did even in that department.
Hey, Doug, who's going to be maybe one of those young guys in camp that we're not talking about or haven't read about yet that's going to really compete for a starting job as a position player? Or is there one guy?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They're really the only battle in spring training, because they did do so well at filling holes, is going to be at second base. Gordon Beckham was traded last year. He did re-sign with them, but he's going to probably be more of a utility player. I look for two guys to really battle for the starting job. A speedy kid named Micah Johnson. He's kind of high up their prospect list. And another guy, Carlos Sanchez, who played with the team for the final month after Gordon was traded and did a pretty solid job. So he's kind of got maybe the lead because he has that month of experience. But I think Micah Johnson, with his speed and his upside, I think ultimately he's the guy that will probably be best at the job in the long haul. So at some point he's going to get a crack at it. Ton of speed there. He'll probably bat in the ninth hole if he gets it. Adam Eaton in the leadoff hole with speed again. I mean, they kind of want to pattern it maybe a little bit after the Royals, who used all their speed to kind of wreak havoc on people. And it'll be a nice weapon for them to have, because they've been kind of a slugging, plodding team for so long.
We're visiting with Doug Padilla. He writes for ESPNChicago.com and ESPN 1000 on the radio. Hey, Doug, talk a little bit about Melky Cabrera and this signing. I thought this was in some ways, an under-the-radar signing. You know, Melky a few years ago, of course, got suspended there at the end of the year by the Giants, but over the last couple of years, gone up to Toronto and played some pretty good baseball.
Yeah, I think he kind of redeemed himself a little bit. I mean, he's always going to have that stigma of being a PED guy, and he knows it. But, he did go up and continue to hit. I mean, he's, what's that term for everybody, that professional hitter that they always like to say. But he knows how to put the bat on the ball. You know, it's one of those terms where you kind of roll your eyes a bit. But, it kind of fits the guy. And they really didn't have a number two hitter at all. They've been trying to wing it with Gordon Beckham and Alexi Ramirez in the two hole, and neither could really handle the bat well enough to do what they needed situational hitting wise. So they finally got that number two guy. And when you look at Adam Eaton with his speed up top and his high on base percentage, now you've got Melky Cabrera too. That leads you into Jose Abreu, Adam LaRoche, Avi Garcia, who's going to play right field. I mean, then you start looking at that top of the lineup, and it's kind of like the top of the rotation. You say, wow, that looks pretty good if they can all stay healthy and produce. So I think it was an important pickup for them. And, you know, he's just an average defender probably in left field, but they had a guy named Diane Vitiedo out there in left that was really quite awful defensive-wise. By subtraction, by getting Vitiedo out of there, releasing him, it just improves the defense right there automatically. So they'll take that as well, and ultimately it makes it a really good signing. I don't know that he needs to be a star on this team. He just needs to handle the bat and let everybody else kind of drive in the runs, and they'll be pretty good.
Hey, Doug, talk about Alexi Ramirez. Here's a guy that, because the White Sox haven't been good the last few years, people really outside of the AL Central really don't know how good this guy is. This guy's put together a really solid career to this point.
He has. He had one blip in the radar about 2 years ago, and you know, he had some personal issues. His father-in-law was killed, and kind of weighed on him pretty heavily 2 seasons ago, and he really kind of he went backward pretty some fierce, and it was kind of tough to see for the team. And it got into those situations where, although they had a really good team-friendly contract with him, they started thinking about trade, and by the time they can pull any kind of trigger on a trade, he had lost all trade value. And in one season last year, he rebounded. I mean, this guy went from zero trade value to a guy that now they don't want to trade at all. He'll be making $10 million this season, $10 million next season, and they'll pick up that option, I'm pretty sure. Plays great Gold Glove caliber defense, and he can you know, hit the ball hard. Not really too much of a power hitter, can probably get you 15 or 18 home runs, but, man, his overall game is solid. Was an all-star for the first time last year. For $10 million, you're not going to find a guy like this. And, you know, it's gone from, boy, we don't want this guy, to, boy, we can't get rid of him. And, you know, good for him, because he's a good guy, works hard. And, you know, he's really kind of earned this. And with the trouble he had, it's nice to see a guy bounce back.
Hey, Doug, thanks so much for the time. Have a great spring. And hopefully we track you down somewhere along the road during the season.
Absolutely. We'll check in and we'll find out how these two revamped rosters did for themselves.
Yeah, well, good luck to you, because I'm pulling for our Padres this year. When you do the post-game show like Randy Jones and I do, man, we want something good to talk about this year.
Absolutely. Hey, I know where we can talk. We'll talk to each other in the World Series when they're playing each other. How about that?
That'll be beautiful. Hey, thanks for the time, and again, safe travels.
All right, have a good one.
There you go. Doug Padilla from ESPNChicago.com and ESPN 1000. Nice enough to stop by and visit about the Chicago White Sox.